This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX in association with Pitch DMM, the app that lets fans rate their own team's performance. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me on this Manchester United special is Stretton News contributor, Ruman Paul. Ruman, great to have you on the show, mate. How you doing?
Very well, thanks, Stel. How are you?
Yeah, all good.
Thank you for having me. So, appreciate you asking me to join you on your podcast.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. Well, look, you and I both know it's been a disappointing season so far. Pre-season was a disappointment. The transfer window was a disappointment. Our league position is disappointing. And a lot of our big players have been, you guessed it, disappointing. So other than disappointing, how would you sum up United's season so far?
Quite disappointing. I mean, there's not really been many highs at all. I think you probably encapsulated the one word that certainly... describes Manchester United, the players, the style, the results, a bit of everything, and it is literally that. It's disappointing, in particular when there is so much really there to offer in terms of the players that are on the playing staff. And let's face it, whether you like him or don't like him, you've still got a manager there with an absolute unbelievable pedigree. So you're right, disappointing is absolutely the word. I will say one thing, there's still a lot of football to play, by the way. Suggesting we're going to be pulling up trees and winning cups or the league or anything. I fully appreciate that. But there's still a long, long way to go.
No, I agree, mate. And you know, Jose's comments at the end of the last season saying, at the beginning of this season, saying becoming second was one of his best achievements. A lot of people scoffed at it. But then when you look at where we are now, it didn't seem too far-fetched, did it?
No, you're right, and I think he'd identified even back then that yes, there's frailties, and yes, he'd like to add to the squad with certain players in certain positions or in particular positions. And of course, behind the scenes, unfortunately, there was a lot of issues regarding the players who were looking to turn on him as well, for whatever reason, whether it's personal or not personal. And I think when you're in the mix, such as in a managerial position, and of course, I'm not in a privileged position to be within the club's confines to know exactly what's going on. However, I think you're right that the fact that he, a lot of people scoffed at when he said he finishing second was his greatest achievement. I can sort of see what he was trying to say about that. You know, it's not just the fact that winning all those trophies has made him the manager he had, because he probably saw so many deficiencies that he wanted to change and he wanted to add to the squad. And I suppose now, looking back, yeah, you're right, finishing second wasn't a bad achievement at all, really.
That's right, especially the fact that City ran away with the league title. And they're in such an envious position at the moment, because we've seen how good we were over the years, you know, winning titles at a canter. I remember, was it a couple of years after we won the treble? Was it the 2 years before David Beckham left? I think it was 2 years before David Beckham left. We won the league in April. I remember beating Coventry 4-2 when Scholes scored that belter from outside the box. We had Andy Goring goal that day, I think it was. We won the league in April. And it was, you know, the last four or five games were just dead rubber, literally dead rubber. And then we're not destroying teams like we used to. And it's so frustrating seeing City the way that they are. And obviously the money has helped, but let's be honest, man, they've really, really kicked on.
Well, they have, and they've really, really changed the, I suppose, the landscape of the style of play. Obviously, points won, goals scored, assists, all that. The stats have really stacked up in favour of Man City. And to be fair, if you look at it from a very neutral perspective, you know, you'd have to say they've been so pleasing on the eye, so attractive, so... You know, we have to be sometimes gracious to admit that actually they have changed the last few years. The Premier League football that they've been playing has been fantastic. So there's a bit of catching up to do and a reality check for lots of clubs, and Man United are one of those, unfortunately.
I agree, mate. I agree. Well, we spoke about Jose earlier, and a lot of criticism has been aimed at him, be it his treatment of Shaw, Martial, and even Pogba. Now, people have spoken about his demeanour and how he isn't the same Jose. Real Madrid are on the hunt for a new coach. Can you see Jose returning to Bernabeu? And if so, where does that leave United and, moreover, Ed Woodward?
I mean, obviously in football, you just don't know. I mean, I'm only second guessing. I don't think he'll return, is my honest answer. I think there's probably more likely Roberto Martinez being the new manager of Real Madrid than there is Jose Mourinho. But that's just, as I say, a second guess. I'm not privy to any particular information as such. And I don't think really he probably enjoyed his time at Real Madrid as much as he'd like to have. Just like I don't think he's enjoying his time at Old Trafford, to be fair. So I don't really think he'll go for that job. But again, in football, you just never know. If that was the case, where does it leave everybody else, including Woodward and the club? Well, really, I suppose almost back to square one. And the hunt for a manager, for me, only if he was available, would be somebody like maybe Ancelotti. But of course, he's not available. So again, you then have to question who is available right here, right now. Everybody's harping on about Zidane. Great, fine, he done superb with Real Madrid. But let's not forget which circumstances he came into that job with. You know, he'd obviously played for the club for a number of years. He understood the way the club was run. They understood him. So the transition for him was a lot different. And let's be honest, he didn't have to spend records amount of money to by players such as Ronaldo or Ramos, because they were already there.
Yeah.
So he almost like had a ready-made team. So the frightening thing is that, okay, let's say tomorrow Jose's gone. Who do you bring in? You haven't got many options. You know, the options are very, very limited. And, you know, I've read a few things, Eddie Howe and certain other names bandied about. But sometimes you have to be a little bit careful for what you wish for as well, because you're almost going back into the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always said that when you take a job like United, Real Madrid, Barcelona, whoever it be, these giant teams, you've got to have some kind of achievements on your CV. I've seen Kovac at Bayern Munich, and he's struggling. And I know he played for the club and he knows about, you know, the DNA. But as a manager, he's won one German Cup. That's about it. If whoever takes over United needs to have the credentials, they need to have a glowing reference, something there to say, right, I've won this, you know, this is what I can do. No disrespect to David Moyes, winning only the League Two isn't good enough as far as I'm concerned. I know that Ferguson had a lot to do with that, but that's in the past. Van Gaal, I could see why we brought him in, to stabilise the club. He's got a history of developing players, won Champions Leagues at Ajax. But I could see why Jose Mourinho is attractive to Real Madrid, because they know what he's about.
And let's not forget, for all of Jose's detractors that he's got, and a lot of those that will say that his style of play is very pragmatic, very boring, likes to grind out 1-0 victories. Let's rewind the clock back a few years when he was at Real Madrid. You know, at that time, record number of goals scored, record number of assists, record number of points won in La Liga. And his style of play with the players he had then was most certainly anything but pragmatic. You know, he was very, very offensive. He had players that he could rely on that were scoring goals for fun, creating chances. And even at Inter Milan, even though, you know, they weren't scoring fours and fives regularly, but it certainly wasn't negative. Both occasions, I think this is what he was trying to do this season in particular, both occasions with Inter Milan and Real Madrid, he had defenders that were stalwarts for the club, you know, that could really, really marshal the defence. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was so disappointed and disillusioned, I think, as well, at the start of the season, when he was screaming out for at least one centre-half minimum. And I think, had he been able to trust his defence, he may have let the forwards off the leash a lot more sooner this season. So, you know, I don't really agree with everyone when they say he's very pragmatic, only goes for the one. I think once he can trust his players, i.e. his defence in particular. I remember he'd done it at Chelsea as well. He trusted Ricardo Carvalho, Ferreira, Ashley Cole and John Terry. So he knew that whilst he's got those guys at the back, he can let the likes of Joe Cole, Damien Duff, Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard, he can let them off the leash and Arjen Robben and say, go out and attack. And let's face it, United have got the players capable of tearing up defences for fun, but he just doesn't trust and rely on his defenders. And that's shown, hasn't it, over how many months now?
Yeah, and we've heard about the Alderweireld situation with Spurs, and we'll get into him in just a moment. Now, there was the specialist in failure banner that flew over Turf Moor, a message from the fans to Ed Woodward. How much do you think this has damaged his reputation and his ego?
Ed Woodward's?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, I'll say it quite politely, rightfully so, because you've got a guy here who's a specialist actually in the most wonderful commercial deals for the club, but that's about where it stops, because he's not really a footballing person. He doesn't always close off deals that maybe he should have done or could have done. And in all fairness, I think he's a million miles away from being the right sort of person to work with any manager, by the way. Clearly, his relationship with Jose is very strained. You can see that from one or two of the video clips that were going around a few months ago, even in the pre-season, in the tunnel, one of the games it was, Andy almost reaching out for Jose. And there was a bit of a sort of cold feeling between them. You wouldn't even have to be an expert in to look at the body language and see that actually it wasn't very good. And if you look, banners, I don't agree with, by the way, specialist in this or specialist that. It sort of annoys me, actually. You know, somebody would want to pay for a banner to be flown over. But certainly he has made errors at from a footballing point of view, which somebody in his position should also be looked at. You know, can you trust this guy to oversee transfers when half the time he probably isn't interested in the football side at all because he's such a business person? You know, you give him commercial deals, he'll close them off left, right and centre. I mean, we've probably signed more sponsorship deals with all other providers of whether it's noodles, whether it's tyres or anything else. But you give him football deals to close off, and that's where he struggles. And I just want to make a little point actually about that, is that I think, and I hate to say it, but I think Liverpool sort of rectified that side of it a couple of years ago when obviously Ian Ayre stepped aside. And when they brought in their new guy, they realised very, very quickly that for Liverpool to succeed and move on to the next level, they need somebody who can work with the manager to close off transfer deals. Now, the Fabinho deal, nobody really knew about that one. That came completely out of the blue. The Van Dijk deal was done many months before it actually happened. But again, Klopp had identified who he wanted. And he said, right, no, I want this person as the linchpin in my defence. Go and get him at all costs. And even in terms of the goalkeeper, now, had Karius probably not made that mistake, maybe they wouldn't have gone and got a goalkeeper in the summer. But, you know, they've done what they've done. They've done their business quite effectively. And you can't really knock them for that at all. That's the sort of thing we should have been doing even this summer, to be fair. You know, So I don't think really the relationship between Woodward and Mourinho is really healthy at all for either of them. And most importantly, it's not healthy for Manchester United Football Club.
No, I agree, mate. And see, this is the thing. We've seen so many commercial partnerships highlight. If you look in, you know, your manunited.com, you can see an official paint partner, an official coffee partner, and even a global mattress and pillow partner. I mean, it's laughable, but at the same time, you can see why it makes financial sense to have these partnerships. But then when you hear about Ed Woodward undermining Jose Mourinho at the transfer market, I'll give you an example. When the story that broke that Alderweireld was offered to United on deadline day, and Woodward said, no, we don't need him because we've got enough players in that position that are better than what's available. That kind of comment is absolutely asinine. And to see a CEO undermining a manager, and people will say, well, you know, he's backed him in the transfer market, he signed Bailly and Lindelof, but these are players that are for the future. These are players that are 23, 24 years old, that have got at least 10 years ahead of them. You know, what Jose Mourinho wants are established players that can come in, that can do a job, win trophies, and obviously their experience will rub off on the youngsters, you know. But Jose will always get a bad rep because of what's happened in the past at Chelsea and the signings that he's made and yada, yada, yada. Don't make me go on about this all night, to be fair. But I just don't think it's fair how Jose Mourinho gets all the stick when it comes to United's failings. And, you know, talking about Woodward, and while we're on the subject of him, there's been several murmurs that he's been feeding certain journalists information about the ins and outs of the club, and in turn he's got many of them on his side, and access his currency is the first term that really springs to mind when I think about this. If the Saudis are genuinely interested in purchasing the club, can you see Woodward maintaining his position there?
I can certainly see him retaining a position there. Whether it's retaining in the same title, I'm not so sure. And the reason why I think he would retain some sort of position at the club is simply because he'll probably be quite pivotal to any sort of deal that's brokered between, potentially between the Glazers and the takeover by the Saudi group. I think he's that much of an important figure when it comes to working closely with the Glazers, to be fair. I know director of football is always bandied about, and for some people it seems quite a very popular phrase just to use for somebody to oversee the transfers, etc. But in a way, I think it's probably needed more than ever before at United. Now, I'm not somebody who would have normally have advocated something like that, but I think it's got to the point where we've seen now for a number of years. Now, I was quite privy to know that Cesc Fabregas was on the verge of joining Manchester United before he joined Chelsea. And again, the deal couldn't be closed off. Not saying, by the way, that particular one was Woodward's fault, because I think David Moyes unfortunately had a lot to do with that. But these are types of decisions that are absolutely huge to make. You know, massive, massive decisions. If you're losing out on a particular player or a particular player that can influence, whether it's defence, midfield, forward or whatever, these are massive, massive decisions to make. If you're not that way inclined in terms of footballing knowledge or footballing know-how, then you're in the wrong job. Then maybe just stick to your commercial side. For that reason, I think the Saudis will probably think, well, actually, here's somebody who clearly is making Manchester United very successful off the field. Why would we want to dispose of his services? And I think they'd probably want to retain, to be fair, his services due to obviously his revenues that he's increased for Manchester United.
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point. You know, we've seen how the City Group have done things. The money men kind of stay away from the footballing side of things, which I guess is what we want to see. I know Jamie Jackson broke the story about United potentially appointing a director of football. Whether that came from Woodward or not is another story for another time. But how do you think that would impact the club?
I think as I say, it's probably necessary more than ever before now, because there isn't that good relationship, is there? There isn't a good, honest relationship between manager and the one above, i.e. Jose and Ed Woodward. So I think there is going to be an importance of making that link and being that link between the hierarchy and the management, because clearly the relationship has broken down so much that you're going to need some sort of partnership working there between the hierarchy and management, because it's not just the transfers, is it really? I guess there's lots of other things. For example, only the other year when United were on tour in America, and obviously, you know, Jose is very, very particular, just like certain other managers are, about where they go, whether it's the Far East and it's too far away, the trip is, and is it worthwhile? But again, the commercial side of it is like, well, no, you need to go to the Far East because it's going to bring in a lot more revenue just to play two games over there. So you've got to be steering in the right direction together. And that's why appointing the right person, not just for the sake of it, by the way. I don't think they should just appoint a director of football just for the sake of appointing a director of football. Mm. You know, and I think, I know that Patrice Evra has been seen around with Ed Woodward. I'm not quite 100% convinced he'll be the director of football, by the way. If that was going to be the case, somebody being appointed, I'd like to see somebody along the lines of Edwin van der Sar, who I think is a very, very intelligent professional who I think would be a great asset to Manchester United in that particular role. Somebody who's worked very, very closely with a very good setup at Ajax and has got a great reputation throughout the game. You know, and I think that's important. The identity of Manchester United is important, to be honest. And I think they need to really, really choose carefully, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. Well, if the Saudis are genuinely interested in purchasing the club, how would you feel about a Saudi takeover?
I guess if I'm really honest, from a moral perspective, I wouldn't want it, if I'm really honest. And that's just been, that's giving you my honest assessment. Simply because of, as I say, without getting too political, I think I'll just keep it quite brief. Morally, I wouldn't feel comfortable with it. I suppose that the flip side of everything, and there is always two sides to everything, is that there are owners of other clubs as well, and I think it's probably not fair to mention them, where their owners probably haven't got the greatest track record when it comes to off-field and other things that go on in their countries. So I wouldn't feel comfortable with it. Now, I appreciate, obviously, people say, yes, but we need it to compete with the likes of Man City nowadays and, I suppose, further afield, Paris Saint-Germain. And you know, it just doesn't sit right with me. But you can almost see that that's the only way that that the Glazers will sell up is to a large businessman, a consortium, or a family member or something from the Saudis maybe. It feels inevitable, doesn't it, really? It almost feels inevitable. It just wouldn't sit right with me, to be honest. But again, you know, there are owners out there that that I have to question. The Premier League's, full and fit, proper person's test, will it actually be done this time round? Because I don't think it's really been done very vehemently in the past, has it, really?
No, I think it's a bit of a myth, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, very much so. And I think that's, and the sad reality is that money, unfortunately, is so, so vital in the game. Even for the likes of Manchester United, it's money talks. And, you know, and that's the sad thing about it, isn't it, really?
Yeah. One of the Saudi Arabia's investment conference went ahead on the 23rd of this month. And I know Avram Glazer was out there. In fact, I heard that he was actually out there again yesterday. So that further fuels speculation about a possible takeover, whether it be, I don't know, they're going to take a percentage of the shares. I know Chevrolet won't be too happy about it, but let's be honest, what have they got to say about it? They're just a partner, I guess, or as a sponsor. Look, I know having Saudi owners will guarantee a massive transfer kitty. I've heard Alderweireld and Ramsey are two targets. Can you see either of them happening?
I think Ramsey probably less likely, if I'm honest, because we've probably got a lot more options in that field, whereas obviously with the defensive frailties that we've had and which we've shown again and again, I think Alderweireld will be certainly somebody who Jose will do well to sign in January. I did hear a rumour, by the way, that looks like Alexis is on his way in January as it stands. Mm. So unless something miraculous happens. So there could even be a potential. Again, I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe a bit of a so-called swap deal, which very rarely happens, by the way, with Ramsey coming to Old Trafford and maybe Sanchez back to the Emirates. I don't know. But I think Ramsey coming to Old Trafford is probably less likely. But I suppose if the deal works out better for everyone and Sanchez goes back the other way, then who knows? I mean, I quite like Ramsey as a player. I think he's done very, very well for Arsenal. And bearing in mind, you know, he had his serious injury as well. But I'm just not quite sure how exactly he's going to fit in with our style of play as it stands. Mm. You know, and I just don't want it to be another one of those, you know, square pegs in round holes and that sort of same scenario again. Do you know what? To be honest, Stel, I'd rather us get what we need.
Yeah.
For me, the defence is shambolic at times, to be honest, and that's just putting it very politely. Every single game I've been to this season, not one game have I felt comfortable, including the opening day victory against Leicester, where I've thought, yeah, we're okay. I mean, the opening day victory, James Maddison run our centre-halves ragged. Mm. I thought he was absolutely superb. You know, he pulled them out of position, left, right and centre. And then he just carried on into the Brighton game. Glenn Murray, you know, gave our centre-halves a bit of a battering at times. And to be fair, you can pick it any game you want. You know, at no point was I very confident of our defence. And that's why I think Alderweireld is the type of person Jose wanted from many months ago. I mean, I did obviously hear through the grapevine that the Harry Maguire deal he wanted done as early as April, way before the World Cup started. So, you know, these weren't just names bandied out for fun. I think he actually done his homework quite seriously and realised who he wanted, when he wanted and how. But again, you know, due to his strained relationship with Ed Woodward, and I tell you what I think he has done well, Jose, is that he's highlighted and exposed yet again, in particular for those that weren't fully aware anyway before. He's certainly opened certain people's eyes to what's going on above him at Old Trafford. So hats off, credit where it's due. He's certainly rattled a few cages up there. And I'll be honest with you, there's not many managers right at this moment in time that could do the type of job Jose is doing off the field, by the way. I'm not necessarily saying on the field. I know the results are poor. I know the style of play is not great. But off the field, many of these managers probably couldn't handle what he's having to handle. Because there's some very, very big characters on the playing staff, but also, you know, in the hierarchy at United, at the board level, some very, very big characters there. And so I think, you know, sometimes you have to say to be fair to Jose, he's handled it as best as he possibly can.
Mm. He's a very intelligent man. And I know people are going to say, oh, that's because you love Jose Mourinho. I do love Jose Mourinho, but I'm the first to admit when he's made mistakes. You know, that Sevilla team lineup was a shambles. And the way that we've performed in certain games are down to him. But the way that he's doing this is extremely clever, because what he's doing is that he's not breaking or breaching his NDA for a start. But what he's doing is he's throwing people under the bus, but he's doing it in a very meticulous way. He's choosing his words very carefully. And I'll give you an example. Like back in the last season, remember Brighton when we lost 1-0 and he played Rashford and Martial up front. And they're saying, you know, you wanted Rashford and Martial and here you go. And this is what you get from them. You know,
yeah.
So he was doing it in a way, and people saying, "Oh, he's out of order in the way that he's treated Luke Shaw." Well, I think Luke Shaw is in the form of his life at the moment, isn't he? Really? Yeah. So he hasn't done too badly as Jose. And to be fair, when you look at us last season, I know you mentioned how shambolic we've been defensively. Only Man City conceded less goals than us last season. We conceded only 28. You know, so
yeah.
it's not. It wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, but now I think we're seeing the cracks getting bigger because the likes of Valencia aren't good enough to be a right back. The likes of Chris Smalling and, you know, Phil Jones, I know Jones has hardly featured this season, it's not a surprise really. But yeah, there are issues that need to be addressed. I've always said that Eric Bailly, as talented as he is, he's not an intelligent central defender. And I think his pace and his physicality has got him out of a lot of trouble. Lindelof, I still think there's a player there, to be fair. And we've seen it quite recently that when he forms a partnership with someone and he has some kind of stability, you see a player. And it goes back to what I've said before about John Terry and Carvalho at Chelsea under Jose. You know, John Terry was always going to be a fantastic central defender, but someone like Carvalho that did the donkey work, that wasn't afraid to get stuck in, kind of helped John Terry's development. And I think that if we have an established central defender, here we go with that word, experience, established, like an Alderweireld, it would do Lindelof the world of good. So I can see Jose's frustration. I can understand why he's getting pissed off with the way things are at the moment. And I think as United fans, all we want is to see United win. I think that's all that matters. We share a common ground here.
Yeah. I mean, my point I was making in terms of the shambolic sort of displays, more so this season really, as opposed to last season, and the defensive frailties that we've had this season, completely different to last season. One criticism I think is only fair for me to highlight, which is sort of irritates me a little bit, is that I think I'm a little bit old school in terms of I like the idea of giving a player, whether they're a centre forward, centre half, doesn't matter, full back or midfielder, I like to give a player a good 5-10k run in the side.
Yeah.
And just say to him, guess what, I'm going to trust you, you're my right back, centre half, whatever it might be, left winger, centre forward, you're my main guy for that role for the next 5-6 games. So go out there, show me what you got, and we'll review again in 5-6 games time. And if I'm honest with you, I've been very disappointed with Jose in the fact that he hasn't decided to obviously change it with Lukaku up front, because Lukaku looks very tired and looks very weary, looks as though he's put on a couple of pounds as well. The World Cup probably took a lot out of him as well. He probably needs a rest. And I think, just like what Sir Alex used to do back in obviously his managerial time, he'd sometimes say to the player, just go away for 2 weeks, go on holiday, get some sun on you, and just come back, you know, recharge your batteries. And I think if Jose does that with one or two of the players, maybe he might get a different reaction. So I think I've been disappointed that he's stuck with Lukaku so long, through obviously his barren spell, for not even having a hint of change in his form. And I'd like to have seen him given somebody like Rashford a longer stretch of games. Now, I know obviously Rashford got suspended because of the red card. I appreciate that. But I just think there's certain players that could have done with a run of games. And Andres Pereira is one of those as well, to be fair. So I think that's where he's missed a bit of a trick with Rashford and Pereira in particular, to give them a run of games, to be honest. But other than that, you know, and that's just trying to give a very balanced opinion on Jose as well. So, you know, I think it's only fair to nail him when he's wrong. And I think the other criticism I've got is that when we lost on penalties to Derby, I think his comments about when Bailly and Jones were stepping up for the penalties, he knew we were in trouble. You know, you're killing the guy's confidence, is there? You know, the pair of them. And I think that was a little bit below the belt, if I'm honest with you. So there are certain things that he does do where, you know, no wonder players are going to get a little bit sort of perturbed by his comments after the game or whatever it might be. So, you know, again, he's not perfect. He's not right all the time. And I think that maybe he's sometimes, situations like that, might want to just reconsider his choice of words after a game.
Absolutely. Well, look, speaking of transfers, while we're on the subject, do you think Martial will still be at the club next season? Because I know he's apparently turned down a contract renewal offer. I think we've got the option to extend it by a year, so we're not going to lose him this January at least. Another player who has blown hot and cold for us, I know Jose had his issues with him, which Martial denied after the Chelsea game. I think he's got 4 goals in 3 games now. It's a rejuvenated Martial. It's the Martial that we kind of expected to see, or we wanted to see. Do you think his change of fortunes means that he's going to be demanding more money or assurances?
I think probably a bit of both, actually, to be fair. Let's be honest. I mean, it's not as though he's desperate for a lucrative contract right here, right now. However, you know, if he's the man who's getting United out of a hole at the moment, and he's the one who's banging in the goals, and he's the one who's performing up top in comparison to the other forwards, then, you know, let's be honest, if you were in his shoes, you'd probably want to do the same and say, well, knock the boss's door and say, guess what, not only do I think I need a new contract, but I need a pay rise, and you need to play me more often. You know, I think it makes sense, obviously, to give him a new contract. Why not? Because, obviously, even if things do change and things go sour, at least you can recoup more money when somebody's got a longer contract rather than somebody who's got maybe 6 months or a year to go on his contract or has run his contract down and, you know, you're likely to losing on a free or something. So, and it'd be good for him as well because, hey, listen, a bit of extra money for him. I'm pretty sure no professional's going to turn that down. He might even have a clause put into his contract. I don't know, but I think it would make much sense to try and keep him. I think he'll stay, to be fair, unless things change again off-field and he gets maybe influenced by other players, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah. See, I remember when Sanchez signed for us and he took that left side, forward left position, and obviously Martial was dropped to the bench and a lot of people were up in arms about it, which understandably so, because, you know, Martial was doing very well for us at the time. You know, it kind of broke his momentum and he struggled to get back in the team, and when he did, he didn't show much enthusiasm or interest. But I've always said that when a player like Alexis Sanchez joins your club or whichever club it is, the player should see that as some sort of a challenge. You know, this is the guy that's coming on big wages. He's going to be an automatic starter as a result. So step it up. Step it up from second to third or third to fourth. And I think now that Martial's been given his opportunity, he's grabbed it with both hands and he's realised that, yeah, you know, I can be better than this player. In fact, when you talk about form, he is better than Alexis Sanchez, and he's holding on to that place and he hasn't let anyone down. So I think he's finally got it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, my only concern, I think you're right, he's certainly the man on form and he's firing, and I hope he's finally got it. And the reason I say that is because we've seen this type of sort of, in inverted commas, behaviour from him before, where a little bit of maybe a sulk, maybe slightly moody demeanour. I think sometimes they have to have it within themselves, don't they, as well? And there is a bit of a click, obviously, at United with certain players, in particular the French-speaking ones. So when one speaks and maybe influences the others probably get a little bit, you know, sort of drawn into that. And I think Martial is most definitely guilty of that as well. There is no doubt that both of the players, by the way, Alexis Sanchez and Anthony Martial, they are both super talented players. For whatever reason, and I do feel sorry for Sanchez, by the way, to a large degree, because, as I say, I watch him virtually every week, and even when he hasn't got the ball, you could just see that he wants to do well. He, you know, he's always willing, always trying. It's just not happening for him. And I probably think that it may not ever happen for him in a United shirt. I'm not suggesting, by the way, he's not a good player. I actually think he's a very good player. But it's just not happening for him. And fair play to Martial. You know, he's grabbed his opportunity, hopefully with both hands this time again. Now, here's the same Martial who was criticised by Jose, 12 months ago, was it, I think?
Yeah.
You know, then, or even less. Then he had a resurgence. Then he got a bit moody again. Now he's having a resurgence. So I'm not going to fall for the fact that all of a sudden that's it. You know, he's turned the corner completely, because you just don't know. You just don't know. You know, 3 months later, something could kick off behind the scenes. We don't know. And he might get moody again. It's very much up to these players as well. And that's why I always think that some of these players also need to just act their age a little bit as well sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my only fear with certain players. And so, I mean, Alexis, for example, I mean, his demeanour and attitude or whatever doesn't appear to be as moody and sulky as others. But again, behind the scenes, we don't know fully exactly what goes on, do we really?
Exactly.
You know, so I don't think it's all done and dusty that all of a sudden Martial's turned the corner and that's it. He's a changed man. I'm still hoping that yes, he has, but very, very wary, of course, that can change at any given moment.
I must admit, for the time being, I'm impressed with his application. He's tracking back. You saw at Everton, he was helping Luke Shaw out at left back, tracking runners. And I think that's what Jose wanted. I think that's one of the main reasons why Jose chose Alexis Sanchez over him, because Alexis does a lot of the donkey work. He's happy to track back. He's got bags of energy. But it just seems that Martial is a bit laboured in his approach. I don't know whether it's just... I don't want to say it's a French thing, because it clearly isn't, but I don't know whether it's just his attitude or the way maybe he feels that he's better than that. I don't know, but there was that incident with Jose during the Newcastle game where Jose gave him an absolute rollicking for not tracking back. And it just seems that he's taken that on board. They must have discussed it, and he's doing what he's told now. So he's reaping the rewards. So let's see how this one goes, because I think this isn't the end of the Martial chapter for United anyway.
Correct, and that's why I say that, you know, great, I hope it lasts. I'm not going to hold my breath completely, because things can change. I mean, the other thing I will say, Zell, I mean, I know we touched on these two players, but it's just, for me, it's a bit of a crying shame that actually some of these players are still being played out of their particular positions. I mean, none of these are really wingers, are they, really? They're not out-and-out wingers. I mean, Martial's not an out-and-out winger. Sanchez isn't an out-and-out winger. Rashford certainly isn't an out-and-out winger. And Mata's more of a number 10. And it's a shame that they're all sort of... they're almost being made to do a role that isn't really theirs. And I think that's where the lot of them get caught between a rock and a hard place, because they're having to adapt their sort of... their game as well, which, again, you know, Sir Alex used to get the best out of other players as well. But I just think sometimes the player's own application doesn't help. You know, for me, I'd rather see out-and-out wingers for United, and it'd probably be a very unpopular choice that I'm about to say now, but having watched him for over a year or so in French football, I think Memphis is the sort of player I'd probably have back at Old Trafford in a heartbeat. I know he had very much of that persona of a flash Harry, liked his sort of lavish cars and flash jackets and flash outfits. But it appears to me, from what I sort of see in the last 6 to 12 months, that I think he's starting to finally understand that, actually, do you know something? I need to knuckle down as well and show the rest of the world what I'm about. That's the sort of player I'd love to see on the left wing. I mean, I don't know whether you... I know I'm digressing a bit here, by the way, but point I'm trying to make is, when you said about tracking back Martial, helping out Luke Shaw, if you remember Luke Shaw before his injury that he had, I mean, Memphis was on the same side with him all the time. They struck up a great little chemistry, mm-hmm. great friendship off the field as well, you know, so all these things come into play, don't they? You know, you've got to have a bit of a rapport with each other. I mean, it's very rare you'll find partnerships work when they haven't got a good rapport.
Right.
You know, so I think there's a lot really to be said for formations, players' personalities, what clicks, what doesn't click, and I think that's a lot of work to be done off the field for management and players alike.
Mm. I think Colin Sheringham was the exception to the rule.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought of that straight away as soon as I was mentioning about chemistry on the field. I mean, For those guys, they didn't play as many games together from start to finish. It is usually, like, say, one may have come on last 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever, in particular with Sheringham. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is the chemistry between players. Like, on the right-hand side, we've had it for years, Gary Neville and David Beckham. Mm. You know, you'd have Dennis Irwin and Ryan Giggs, for example. And these sorts of partnerships are vital at every area of the field, whether you're centre-halves, left-back, left-winger. And that's why I think the point I was trying to make earlier about players getting a consistent run of games, that can only add to that, can't it, really? You know, and that would help players like Lindelof. You know, if he knows he's got a settled centre half with him, irrespective of whatever decisions are being made or a couple of errors, Smalling or whatever, that's only going to help them, isn't it?
That's right. Bang on, mate. Absolutely bang on. Right, on a final note, Gary Neville... he rattled Harry Redknapp on Monday night after saying Spurs have been spineless and soft in the last 30 years. Redknapp reacted by criticising Neville's managerial career and has decided he doesn't want to talk to him, for the time being at least. Now, I can remember United coming back from 2-0 down at Old Trafford to beat Redknapp's Spurs 5-2 in 2009. Neville's comments weren't far off the mark, were they?
No, I think he's got a point. I mean, by the way, I mean, I like watching Spurs. I think they're a fantastic side. I think, you know, in Christian Eriksen, they've got one of the best players in the Premier League. I'd take him in a heartbeat, to be fair, at Old Trafford. But I can understand what Gary Neville's saying about being spineless, because it almost seems like, you know, the perennial underachievers, you know, they used to struggle to get into the Champions League spot, and that you can almost see that if they had one or two players with that extra backbone, you know, there's no reason why they couldn't be challenging for the title, on, you know, seriously for the title as well. And again, I hate to bring up Liverpool as a subject matter, but that's where they were almost spineless to a certain degree with their defensive frailties.
Mm.
You know, they decided to get somebody like Van Dijk to I suppose, shore up not only the defence, but also a leader. And that's the type of person I think that maybe Spurs are probably looking at. I mean, by the way, I think Vertonghen and Alderweireld, when they're together, you know, they do look formidable at times. But Gary Neville's right, there just seems to be something missing. Just something, and you know, maybe a so-called midfield hard man or something. And I guess that's why he's probably made that comment again with some validity, really. But I guess Harry Redknapp wants to obviously back his old team, and you know, clearly has a soft spot for Spurs. I'm pretty sure, you know, between his son and Gary Neville, they'll probably have a chuckle. But I don't think that will last very long with Redknapp not wanting to speak to Gary Neville, because Gary Neville does speak a lot of sense. You know, somebody to be so popular with even the Scousers on a Monday night football.
Yeah.
You can't be talking that much nonsense, can you really?
No, exactly. And see, the thing is, right, Gary Neville gets a lot of stick for, you know, his tenure at Valencia, but let's set it straight. At least he had the balls to go and try it out in a foreign country. He could have tried, you know, a Championship club or a League One club, you know, and we don't know how he would have done there, but he went to Spain. He didn't speak the language. He didn't really know the players too well, I guess. And yeah, they probably saw him as his former Man United fullback, but let's be honest, he wouldn't hold as much credibility as, say, I don't know, a Valencia legend like, I don't know, Juan Mata. If Juan Mata ever got the Valencia job, he played for the club, he knows about the club's DNA, the players would relate to him. But I don't remember Harry Redknapp trying abroad. In fact, the last successful British manager, I can say that was abroad, was Bobby Robson and Terry Venables. So, and that, you're talking, what, almost 30 years, if that?
Yeah. Again, I totally concur with you that, you know, it took a lot of guts and courage to up and move to a different country and try something which was a big, big challenge, you know. You let's be honest with you, you're not really going to dislodge the likes of Real Madrid and Barcelona that easily. Mm. And of course, it's... Football's just like life in many ways. It's a learning curve, isn't it, really, whether you're playing, whether you're managing. And it's very easy for somebody to have that pop shot and say, well, look at you, you failed as a manager at Valencia. But guess what? He didn't do too bad at England, did he, with the setup when he was asked to be on the part of the coaching staff. So, you know, give the guy some credit. I mean, I wouldn't say Harry Redknapp pulled up trees everywhere he went, did he really?
Well, he won one trophy in his whole managerial career.
That's it, and not only that, I mean, you could argue and say that he became a specialist in saving clubs from relegation. Well, that's a success in one way, but then again, on the flip side, it's not something that you'd always want to be fully proud of, that actually I was always part of a ship that was almost sinking all the time. You know, and let's face it, his tenure at lots of clubs last spanned over how many years has he been a manager? You know, maybe if somebody like Gary Neville was a manager for so many years, I'm pretty certain he'd probably, you know, turn it around, you know, within 5-10 years, so that his record didn't look so poor.
Well, Harry Redknapp got Southampton relegated. I know he got Spurs to the Champions League, but what happened when he went to QPR? Didn't do too much there, if I remember. And he had the stint as a Jordan national team manager. Then he had a bit of a rough time at Birmingham City. So, you know, this management lark isn't that easy. And for Redknapp to be, you know, criticising Gary Neville for his managerial exploits, well, I'm sorry, but I don't think Harry Redknapp is the man to really lay a finger on Gary Neville. If it was, say, Roy Hodgson, you know, people are going to laugh at this, but Roy Hodgson has been remarkably successful everywhere he's been. You know, okay, forget the England national team job, but...
Absolutely, in Switzerland, in Italy, you know, Roy Hodgson is an astute man in terms of his experience in managing in Europe. I think for Harry Redknapp, he probably said it in the sense that he got quite annoyed the fact that it's about his beloved Spurs. But I suppose when he sits back and thinks, well, actually, at least Gary Neville had the guts to take a job that most others probably wouldn't have decided to take, just to err on the side of caution. So, you know, I'm pretty sure it'll blow over in no time to come, really. But I suppose, you know, maybe someone might want to question Harry Redknapp and sort of ask why his son hasn't took the bull by the horns and tried to manage somebody as well. So, you know, I suppose that's a conversation for another time.
Absolutely. Well, Roman, thank you ever so much for your time, mate. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show. Before I let you go, can you give our listeners your Twitter handle?
Yeah, sure. Twitter handle is Roman7Paul, at Roman7Paul, and also on my Instagram. So feel free to give us a follow if you're interested in reading some bits and pieces to do, mainly with Manchester United.
Fantastic.
So it'd be great to connect.
Brilliant. And it'd be great to have you back on the show at some point. It'd be great to do like a Premier League review, hopefully when United win again.
Well, let's hope that's quite soon. But thank you, Stel, for having me on. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Well, guys, as you're still listening, you can give us some follow on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We also have a Facebook group page, and it can get a bit fiery at times, but everyone's all friendly, so don't be scared, don't be shy. Quick shout out to the FNX Network and also Pitch the MM. Give them a follow at Pitch the MM on Twitter. So until next time, guys, take care.